Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to continue today with the five examples that are given to us in this passage of Scripture related to Timothy, the servant of the Lord who worked with the Apostle Paul, who had proven himself a faithful servant of God. And he shares with the Philippian church the example of Timothy for a very important reason. They were well knowing of Timothy. He had served there at the church. But also, there was some strife that was taking place within this one-decade-old church. And there were some problems that were there. And Paul was trying to connect them with someone that they knew who was living a humble and godly life. You know, folks, we all need examples in our lives. And I want to say this just as powerfully as I can this morning. We've got boys and girls and teenagers in this church that are deserving of adults who walk with God. And just let that soak in for just a while. They deserve to have adults that walk with God. Not just talk the talk, but who actually live the Christian life before others and serve as an example of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul is sharing this at this particular time, because he wants them to know that Timothy, who had lived among them, was a godly example. We looked at three last time. I gave you the third one, which was the example of serious service, and I gave you the story of Frank Sisson, who served in Patton's Third Army. And some of you came up afterwards and said, you didn't finish the story. I want to know what happened to Frank after his girlfriend that he had been faithful to all those years away from home, who had served in the military, came back thinking they were going to get married, and she had had an affair with an attorney and was not interested in him. He went to church that Sunday with his mom and with his brothers right after he had met with Alice. And the pastor introduced himself. He was a new pastor. He didn't know him. He said, I'm the new pastor here of the church here. I'd like for you to meet my daughter, who is 18. And Frank looked at her, and he just, this is your daughter? Yes, this is my daughter. She's 18 years of age, and she's going to be staying in the community, and she just finished up high school, and he fell in love with her. He's still alive today, by the way. They've been married for 72 years. Now, you think about that. How God undertook. Now, some of you were like taken with the fact that, you know, Frank had been faithful to his girlfriend. He had been tempted, but he was faithful to his girlfriend, kept her letters with him all the time, came back home only to be what? Disappointed. But he took his service seriously. He took his service. He had given his word to this girl, had her picture in his pocket all the time with him. And when he was tempted by this German girl that had been assigned to his unit, that was a translator who knew five languages, and she was very attractive, 10 years older than him, he said when she appealed to him and talked to him and tried to get him to do things with her and so forth, he said, no, I have a girl at home I'm going to marry when I get back. He took his service seriously. God rewarded him by giving him a godly wife. They had four children. They were able to serve in that church for the remainder of their lives. And then after they retired, he's now 101, 102 years old. His wife's 97, 98, somewhere around in there. Been married all these years, faithfully to each other. Let me tell you something. It's always a blessing to honor God, even when you get disappointed. Do what's right. Take your service for Him seriously. That brings us to point number four. And that's found in our passage here about the fact that Timothy's example was substantiated. It was substantiated service. Let's look at the Bible here and let's just let this passage sink into our hearts. I want to begin at verse 19, then I'm going to emphasize a verse that we're going to get into verse 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the what of Him. Everybody say it out loud, please. Proof. We got a legal term here that Paul uses. Proof. You know the proof of Him, that as a son with a father, He hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Now, I want to share with you the fourth example, an example of substantiated service. Proof. Have you ever been challenged to prove something? Maybe when you were growing up, all right? I can't find this, Roger. Where did you put it? I don't have it. Next words out of Todd's mouth. Prove it. All right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right? Some of you are already asleep. I have already kind of nodding off here. Stay with me. All right? I've got an important thing to share with you here. Proof. Let's go to the bedroom. We'll look all over the place. Well, I guess Roger was right. He doesn't have it. You know, it couldn't be that I lost it. You know, it had to be somebody else that took it. We always are challenged to prove, or we want others to prove. I want you to see here that Timothy had proved his service, not only to Paul, but also to the Philippian believers there. Whenever they would get this letter and they would read it, they would all have to say amen to the testimony of Timothy, that he had proved himself. This is an interesting Greek word. Very powerful word in the Greek language that's used here. It's dokime. Dokime is a word that means to accept after it has been tested and proven to work. Now, many of you, when you reach up into a lamp and you turn on the lamp, you don't pay any attention to a little sticker that's on the side of the lamp holder. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's the UL listing. And that little stamp says that this lamp that you have in your living room has been electrically tested, and it's proven that it is work and that it works and that it won't shock you. How many of you have had a bulb blow out? You unscrewed the bulb to go and see what wattage it was. You go into the back room where you keep all your bulbs. You open it up. Oh, I don't have one. I'm going to have to go get it. So you lay the bulb down and you head over to Hall's Hardware, Home Depot, or Lowe's. I got to hit them all, brother. Sorry about that. Our resident Lowe's worker here. And you get your bulb. Meanwhile, back at home, your dear honey goes over to turn on the light. And you left it on because the bulb was out. Anybody ever done that before? Pull the bulb out, and she starts feeling down in there, and then all of a sudden, you know, what idiot took the bulb out? Yeah. Honey, I was going to go to the store, and I was actually on my way to get that replacement bulb. Now, UL listing doesn't help dumb. All right? It doesn't help dumb. Like when I was a kid, I'll never forget this. I worked here at the school vacuuming hallways. We actually had a daycare center behind this building here. Two long buildings that had been put together. They used to serve as the barracks up at Whiting Field during World War II. And we got a bunch of those buildings. They were all back here. They were all wooden buildings and so forth like that. And I worked after school. I had a vacuum cleaner. And I was doing my Todd Brainerd quick. You ever jerk the cord out? Yeah. And one of the prongs came off. So I walk over and I see it sticking out. All right? And I said, you know what? There's a little hole on there. I'm going to take my pocket knife and I'm just going to pop it out. Except my pocket knife was not insulated. Okay? I stuck that blade down in there, and my little crew cut that I had back in those days, all right, it became a flat top. If you know anything about haircuts, you know what a flat top is. That's where the front of it sticks up like this. I had a crew cut, it became a flat top. And I was sitting there, dropped the thing. I said, that was really dumb. Alternating current. Yeah. I was going to pull that prong out. I was going to fix the plug on there because Dad had taught me how to do that. But one thing that Dad could not overcome, dumb. Let me tell you something, folks. Timothy had proven himself that when it came to biblical service, he was not stupid. He was not dumb. He was knowledgeable in the Word of God. He had been tested and found to work well. Dokime. The idea of testing something over and over and over and over again and coming out the right side every single time. Dokime. That's the Greek word. To be tested over and over again and come out on the right side every time. You know, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of failures in testing. A lot of failures. And we get some kind of a trial that comes into our life and then we fall to pieces instead of doing what? Resting in the Lord. We've only been told that over and over again in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. But we go, I get amnesia and I can't remember that. And we fall to pieces. Timothy had been tested and found to be acceptable. And he reminds the Philippian believers of this fact. His service has been substantiated. I want to just say this. That's part and parcel of having the right kind of life, to have substantiated service before others. We talked about being an example. Listen, you got to pass the tests. There's been a lot of tests that we've all had to take since we left school. And I'm not talking about, you know, you're taking a test to learn how to give CPR or how to use an AED. I'm talking about the tests of life. There's a lot of tests that come down the road of life. The test of sickness. I told you in Sunday school about Dr. Griffith, who lost his oldest son to cancer. He was diagnosed in September, died in November. Quickly. A young man that had been serving as pastor for almost 15 years of their local church started complaining about his right leg just aching all the time, aching. He thought, I must have something going on with my knee. So he set up an appointment, got a referral to an orthopedic doctor to check his knee out, and he said, we're going to take some x-rays and so forth, and then found out that he was riddled with cancer. No cancer history in the family. They told him, said, this cancer has spread not only through your leg, but it's all through your chest cavity. It's in your lungs. After they did all the testing. And then the word came, it's inoperable. It's inoperable. We can't do anything about it. You're just going to have to go home. He went home and stood before his church and gave his testimony of what would be happening. He said, I will continue to pastor you until I'm not able to do that. He pastored for about 3 weeks until he couldn't stand anymore. He had to be put into bed, and he died. But one of the things that came up over and over again at the funeral service was the faithfulness of Craig. Faithful. Not a national figure, not somebody that was well known, but just somebody that gave his heart to God when he was a teenager. Willing to serve God, God called him to preach. He went off to Bible school, he came back, pastored this church, and just being a faithful pastor, doing what he's supposed to do, and he died. His service was substantiated. Every testimony at his funeral was basically the same thing. He was so faithful. When he said he would pray for you, he prayed for you. Whenever he got up in the pulpit, he delivered his heart from what God had shared with him. Whenever he was dealing with a soul, he was considerate, but he gave the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His service was substantiated. Let me ask you something this morning. Is there enough proof to share with folks today that your service has been substantiated? Is there enough proof? You know, proof is not just something where you just say it. It has to be what? Tested to see whether it's real and whether it's true. I want you to listen as I share with you a statement relative to a man that has become one of my heroes. His name is George Leal. George Leal was a slave in the 1700s. His master had purchased him from Africa. He was delivered to the home there in Maryland. And the master was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he went to work leading George to the Lord. And he saw within George a young man that had a burden for other souls. He was witnessing constantly, sharing the gospel with the other slaves. And so the master said, you need to get a Bible education. I'm going to hire somebody to teach you, to come in here and teach you the Word of God. So he got another preacher to come in and just take him on as a tutor. And George Leal learned the great doctrines of the Bible. He had never owned a copy of the Bible before, but now he had one. And he was learning. He went to his master. He said, Master, he said, I would love to be able to start a church for the slaves. Do I have your permission to do that? He said, yes. And I'm also going to give you your freedom. 1778. Gave him his freedom so he could be free to do what he wanted to do. Matter of fact, he released most of his slaves at that time. And they became the formation of a church. George ministered to their souls, but he became a burden for other slaves outside of our country. He became the first missionary to Jamaica to carry the gospel to the slaves. He didn't go around on deputation. His former master said, I'll give you what you need. Go, George. So George went to Jamaica. It was a long, tough voyage, but he arrived there, went to the sugarcane fields, and he asked the masters there if he could have permission to talk to the slaves. He said, yes, after work. He found, though, that it was very difficult to minister to them. They were so wore out from working that they couldn't stay awake. So you know what George did? George did something that most of us would never think of doing. George sold himself as a slave to the sugarcane masters. Sold himself. He said, I want to become a slave, and I want to make sure that as I become a slave, can I witness to the men while we're working? I will do just as much work as everybody else, but I want to talk to them about their souls. He said, we don't mind as long as you work. And so from dawn till dusk, every day, he became a missionary to the slaves. He got permission. After many of the slaves began to trust in Jesus Christ, they became better workers. And so the master said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to build you a church. George, we want you to be the pastor, and we want you to minister to these slaves. And so his ministry expanded and expanded, and God used him in a powerful way. You know what his service was? It was substantiated. It was proven. It wasn't just talk. It was reality with George Leal. Sold himself into, he'd already gained his freedom, but he was sold back into slavery again so he could be a servant of Jesus Christ to minister throughout the day and on the weekends the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, there's still a church there on the old sugarcane plantation that was built by the masters for George Leal's congregation so they could minister the word. His service was substantiated by his willingness to give up his freedom to serve God in Jamaica. I want to take you to the fourth example in verses 23 and 24 today. I'm going to read them again, and I want you to think about the example of standby service. The example of standby service. Notice this, please. Verse 23. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I have also found myself to come shortly to you. In other words, I think I'm going to get out. I'm going to be able to come to you. But my plan is to send Timothy to you. Now, we know from the Bible in the New Testament that Timothy never went to Philippi again. Instead, he went to the church at Ephesus and ministered there for many years because they had great needs there. But Paul put Timothy on standby. You ever been on standby? Maybe there's not enough seats on the airline and you're on standby. Now, you know what that requires when you're on standby? Patience. I shared with you last Sunday about a couple that I heard about this past Christmas who was on standby because of the COVID restrictions and so forth like that. There weren't enough seats on that flight, but they said, listen, we may have some cancellations. We can try to get you on. Wait here. They waited for 15 minutes and they left. We're not staying here. So they went and got them a hotel, and their thinking was, the airline will pay for this hotel. So they got them a really ritzy place to stay. They got the suite. Airline's going to pay for it. They went out to a very expensive restaurant that night. They came back the next day to the counter and they said, yeah, we need to be put on a thing because there wasn't enough seats on the airplane. And so there was a note that had been put in by the person that had done at the gate. And just the note said they refused to stay on standby. Well, for the airline, that meant we don't have to pay for a hotel. We don't have to pay for the meal. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. And so they told him, said, you're going to have to pay for the gate change because you didn't stay last night. Well, we waited 15 minutes. You're on standby. We told you that we were waiting until the very end. Your number that was called was Southwest, was in the front, but there were no seats for you because of the COVID situation. They thought they were going to be compensated, but they refused to stay on standby. Now, let me just ask you something. Can you be on standby for God? Paul said, now it wasn't Timothy talking here. It was Paul saying, I hope to send Timothy to you presently. In other words, there's a little bit of doubt as to when he's going to go. He's on what? Everybody say it, please. Standby. He's on standby. Some people cannot wait for God. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen thy heart. Well, I haven't got strength. Well, maybe it's because you don't know how to wait. You don't know what it means to be on standby. God expects us as his children that all he has to do is point and you go. All he has to do is say, I need you here. Do you realize that there are many people in the United States of America that God has given the signal to and they refuse to go? Because they weren't going to stay on standby. They weren't going to go there. They weren't going to do this. I'm not going to do that because the pay is not high enough. I'm not going to go there because that's a dangerous place. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. You don't know what it means to be on standby service for God. Timothy had demonstrated that he could wait. And by the way, in his waiting, he was redirected to another location. Can God do that with you? Can he redirect you in another location to serve him? Or do you have all kinds of walls put up in your life? Paul said of Timothy, I will probably send him presently to you. But I'm going to wait and see what happens with me first. Because I hope to come to you. I hope to minister to you sometime in the future. By the way, neither one of them were able to go. Paul was not able to go back to Philippi. There's no record that he was able to return back on another missionary journey to Philippi. Now, my point is this, folks. Sometimes in Christian service, there's waiting periods. I would imagine if I asked for a show of hands tonight, how many of you have had to wait on the Lord? Yeah, we could all put up our hands and say yes. Sometimes we want instant answers to everything. We want an instant answer to this problem. I've got a crisis, Lord. I need an instant answer right now. And God says, well, I need you to wait a little bit. I need to see how you're going to do in the testing phase. Okay? Dokime. The testing phase. How are you going to do? Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to trust? Are you willing to rest in me while I decide what I want to do with you? Now, God knows what he wants to do with us. But he wants you to come to the place that you're willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Oh, this is so important. And by the way, it's not just a message for teenagers and college students. I think sometimes, yeah, you preach it, brother! Preach it to those young people! They need to hear it. Well, they do need to hear it. But you need it too. You need it too. So thankful this week. Mr. Woods went with me over to visit Steve. Mr. Woods didn't say, you know, I'm really busy right now. Mr. Woods didn't say, I've got a full slate of things. I can't. Mr. Woods said, what time are we going? Went over, 87 years of age, fixing to have a birthday coming up here in March. Lord willing, to be 88 years of age, right? You'll be 87. I'm sorry, I'm rushing things for you. But Mr. Woods and I went over to visit, and we did a Bible study with Steve. And then Mr. Woods just began to share a testimony and some of the things he learned from John chapter 3 and his own personal study. And I sat there just amening as he shared some thoughts there. And I thanked the Lord that Mr. Woods was on standby. He was on standby. He could be called upon to go and visit a student of his from way back in the 70s that hadn't seen in 40-something, 45 years. By the way, Mr. Woods used to live across from his family over on Park Avenue. They used to live diagonal to each other. And as a matter of fact, Steve used to come over and take care of their dog whenever they would go on vacations or trips. So there was a connection there, and Mr. Woods was willing to go. He was on standby service. Going to be 87. Well, you know, we need to retire. I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are of an age to retire from jobs should never think of retiring from the work of the Lord. There's always folks to be witnessed to. It bothers me sometimes whenever I see retirees that have all kinds of time for themselves, but no time for anybody else to witness to them or to take them aside or take them out to eat somewhere and share the gospel with a friend or a neighbor. Why is that? Well, I'm retired. What does that mean? That you're retired from God's service? I don't think so. Who gives you life and breath to live each day? I was a little weak there. I know I'm hard of hearing, but you can do it a little bit louder than that. Who gives you breath? God. Who gives you your talents? God. Who gives you your money? God. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I've stored all this over here for my retirement year so we can go play and do all kinds of stuff. All right. On your playing, are you thinking about souls? Are you thinking about others that may be lost? Or is it just play? This is serious, folks. This is very serious. I hope to send Timothy to you presently. Timothy was on standby. But not only Timothy, Paul was on standby. Did you see that in the text too? Paul was on standby. Right now I'm in prison. But I hope to come to you shortly. I may send Timothy instead, but I'm ready to come as well. He was on standby. You know what I have found over the years in my study of the epistles? That over and over again, people were called upon to be on standby. Called upon to be on standby. Peter, in the book of Acts, over and over again, thrust into situations that sometimes put him in jail. We read about that in Sunday school, Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 5, you have the same thing where Peter is challenged by being put in prison. That's not what I wanted to do on standby. Go to jail? Oh, you think about all the jail ministries that God's people have had over the years. Not because of their guilt, but because of their innocence, they got put in jail and became a testimony. I think about Joseph. I think about Daniel. Go down the list. Peter, Paul, Silas, jail ministry. God said, you know what? You're going to go to jail tonight. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. That's not on my resume. That's not going to look good on my resume that I got put in prison. Yeah, but I need you to witness to a family tonight. I'm going to reach out to the jailer and his family and all of his servants tonight. I need you in prison. Are you willing to be on standby to go wherever God wants you to go? Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, you just put up a wall. You just put up a wall. And your service has been hindered. for God. By the way, the rewards that are given, we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the wood, hay, and stubble, and the gold, silver, and precious stones, where we're judged according to our works. You cannot produce works for God if you're not submitted to His service. Do you understand the connection between those two? If you don't want to serve God, you're not going to produce gold and silver and precious stones. You're going to be producing wood, hay, and stubble. God should be able to touch your life and use you in the minutest of things, like walking over or driving over to a man that you haven't seen in many, many years and witnessing to him. I got to meet evangelist Dave Young this week. Dave Young ministered to our young people at Bill Rice Ranch several years ago. He was the evangelist for that particular week. And I got to meet him this week. He decided that in 2021, he was going to visit everybody on his street and give a gospel witness, and he met Stephen. He began to minister and found out that he wasn't eating, and he found out he was very sick and so forth like that. And so he said, "Well, who do you know here in town?" He said, "Well, I graduated from Santa Rosa Christian School." And Dave Young said, I know about that school. I've heard about it all over the country." "Who's the pastor there?" "Todd Brainerd." He said, "I'm going to call him." And Dave Young, who had been ministering to Steve, called me and he said, "Pastor Brainerd, I just want to let you know about this situation." And I was able to connect with Steve because an evangelist said, "I'm on standby, God, but you know what? There are people in my neighborhood that may need to know of Jesus Christ." By the way, Stephen made a profession of faith the first week of January because of the ministry of evangelist Dave Young. Just witnessing to him. Can God touch your heart and say, "I need you to speak to so-and-so"? If you're not paying attention to God, you're not eager to serve God, He'll go to somebody else that's willing to be used of God. And you'll miss out on all the blessings. Don't you want to have a crown to cast at Jesus' feet? I cannot think of anything more embarrassing than to stand in front of the host of heaven and I have nothing to give to the Lord Jesus and watch my big pile of wood, hay, and stubble go up in smoke. Folks, just being a part of a church, maybe teaching in a Christian school, does not mean you're producing gold, silver, and precious stones. You understand that? If it's being done selfishly or any other motive than the work and the glory of Jesus Christ, it's wood, hay, and stubble. We need to get back to the old-fashioned notion that I'm going to be on standby for God anytime He needs me, day or night. Can we do that for Him? I want to read to you a paragraph from Susanna Spurgeon. Most people don't know, they know Charles Spurgeon. You know he was married and had a wife, Susanna, who served along his side for many, many years in the gospel ministry. This is what she wrote about Psalm 27, verse 14, which says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart." She wrote this, "The Lord has strewn the pages of God's Word with promises of blessedness to those who wait for Him. And remember, His slightest word stands fast and sure. It can never fail you. So my soul, see that you have a promise underneath thee. For then your waiting will be resting, and a firm foothold for your hope will give you confidence in Him who has said, 'They shall not be ashamed that wait for me.'" Isaiah 49, verse 23. "They shall not be ashamed that wait for thee." On standby. Just wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He's going to come in and He is going to strengthen your heart. You won't be ashamed. But if you're unwilling to be on standby for God, to wait on the Lord, then you've just closed the door to gold, silver, and precious stones to come to His glorious name. I want to encourage you to take to heart the example of Timothy. Five things that we have shared about his service. He was an example. And what a powerful example he was. Now, Lord willing, next time we're going to get into verses 25 through 30. There's another powerful example that's given to us there. in God's Word is a man with a very long name, Epaphroditus. I don't know what they called him for short. Maybe it was Paffy. I don't know if they gave abbreviations for people with long names. I love Dr. P.D. Cherion. P.D. has, he says, over 36 letters in the Indian language. And he says, you fall asleep trying to say his name. So he shortened it to P.D. Cherion. I'm glad he did. That way I don't embarrass myself trying to call him by his Indian name. But Epaphroditus was a man who served God. He left the church at Philippi to travel to Rome to report to Paul what had happened at the church of Philippi, that there was some trouble there, there was some tension going on. But in the whole process of that, he almost died. And Paul shares some things about his service to remind the Philippian believers of what kind of men Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul himself were serving them. And you and I need to be reminded of the same, because we're in this church together. We're in this church to serve the Lord together. And to, in the serving of the Lord, we serve each other. Not just some, just my friends. I'm just going to serve my friends. God help you. You know what God can do? He can take away your friends. You got to widen the scope. All right? You got to go to widescreen when it comes to local church love for each other. You can't bring it in and get myopic and only just like a few people. God help you if you're in that situation. Neither Timothy nor Epaphroditus had that kind of a spirit. Amen? And they're set up as examples to you and to me in 2021. God help us to have enough proof to show that we follow and serve the living God. And may we be willing to be on standby for God, that all He has to do is just touch us and say, I need you over here. Yes, Lord, Thy servant heareth. Father in heaven, I thank You for this passage of Scripture. Oh, how powerful it is to share with us the testimony of a young man who caught on to it. He figured it out by Your grace of what it means to serve. He didn't let the circumstances of his youth keep him from serving Thee, having lost his father and being raised by his grandmother and mother. That wasn't an excuse. It was a stepping stone for him. And Lord, I thank You that Paul shares this testimony by pen of inspiration of the wonderful and powerful example of Timothy. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us. There are folks in our neighborhoods that need to have a witness. They need somebody from Grace Bible Church that's living on the street to be awakened to the need that's there. Not to assume, oh, they probably won't listen. Why don't you find out? Why don't you go? Why don't you share the gospel? Lord, help us in that regard to widen our field of vision. Not to narrowly focus in on the church only, but Lord, help us to open up the vision for those that are all around us that are lost. And they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. We can't save them, but we can point them to the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I pray that You would help us to follow the powerful example of Timothy in that regard, and that we might reach out to others. Lord, help our young people, help our teenagers, help our college students, help everyone that's here today to catch the vision that Timothy had. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.